How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
After the floodwaters engulfed the world, there is a new beginning for Noah's descendants and a chance to restore the relationship between God and humanity. This is the Bible.
Well, if you were watching the History Channel, and a lot of people apparently were, they had some record ratings for the first part of the docudrama, The Bible, on the History Channel. That's how it began. And the beginning there tells you a lot about what you can probably expect from this dramatization of the Bible. Now, the first episode began with the flood, oddly enough, but then told the story of creation and the fall. It jumped rather quickly to Abraham, and then to the promise of Abraham, to Isaac, a few incidents there in the life of Abraham and his family. Skipped quite a bit, which you kind of expect if you're trying to squeeze the Bible into 10 hours of regular television, which comes out to, I think on the History Channel with commercials, probably more like 8 hours of regular television. And then they moved to the Moses story, the call of Moses, the Exodus, and left us in perfect cliffhanger fashion, right outside the promised land, with Joshua taking the reins from Moses. They've got the Ten Commandments. They're ready to go in to the promised land. We're going to be doing a little reaction, a little review of the History Channel's docudrama, The Bible, during the rest of this hour of Issues Etc. I invite your questions and your comments. I'm interested in what you thought about it, if you saw it. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. We're coming to you live this Friday, March the 8th. You can send us an email with your thoughts, comments, reaction to the History Channel's The Bible, talkback at issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for your reaction to the Bible docudrama. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, I think a theme is established right there at the beginning of this docudrama from the History Channel, The Bible, that they said after the flood, there's a chance. Now, Noah and his family have a chance to restore the relationship between God and humanity. You say, well, that sounds like a pretty good theme for the Bible, the restoration of the relationship between a fallen man and a holy God. And I think that that theme has a lot of potential. I think it really does. How does it play out, however, in the way that the stories of the Bible, these first few stories of the Bible, are presented? The devil is in that detail. How is that reconciliation affected? Now, if you watched the Bible docudrama, you might have been encouraged. You might have been saying to yourself, wow, finally something representing the Bible on television. It wouldn't be the first time that the History Channel's done this, and it wouldn't be the first time that it's been done on cable television. And you're saying, is it accurate? You're asking good questions, right? Is it accurate to the actual text of the Bible? That's a very good question to ask. But a more important question is that theme. Does it not only present the facts as the history of the Bible actually presents them? That's it. That's very important. Does it tell you what they mean the way the Bible tells you what those events mean? That's the more important question, one that will probably occupy most of our conversation on this Friday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, this is an attempt to dramatize the Bible, to bring it to the flat screen in your living room. And so there are certain limitations, but I want to start with some positives, if I could. What was positive about what we saw in the first installment of the History Channel's The Bible? I think the biggest positive that you might have missed is that at least it attempted to present the Bible as history. Not just because it was on the History Channel, but I did not detect any attempt on the part of the production to say, this is some mythical stuff that's going on. These are legendary stories that really ought not to be believed as actual history. It presented in a very straightforward manner from creation on through the flood and Abraham and the Exodus and Moses in that first installment. It presented it as a real story of real events. And to me, that is a huge positive. It's not what you usually get when the Bible makes it to television. Usually, it is a presentation of what the Bible says, in scare quotes, the Bible says this happened. Then it's followed by the innumerable higher critical liberal Bible scholar talking heads telling us how it didn't happen that way. So I think it's a positive that we see the Bible presented as history. It's a very good time to run this, don't you think? During the season of Lent leading up to Easter. That's a good time to catch people's attention with the docudrama, The Bible. It did have some cheesy, but we could say slightly above average production values. It didn't look like something that was slapped together. As often, productions headed by Christians with the best intentions do. And I think, to kind of bookend those positive thoughts here, it was presenting the characters of the Bible as real people, not just as real historical people, but as realistic people, people who were not plaster saints, people who didn't walk around with their hands neatly folded all the time, people who did not walk around with halos perched above their heads, and people who struggled with what it means to have God intrude into their lives. Now, how God is presented there, I don't know if I can put how God is presented as a character in the History Channel's the docudrama The Bible in the positives category. I don't know if I can make that a positive. In fact, I'm kind of surprised how little of God is actually presented in the course of this attempt to dramatize the Bible. We'll talk more about it, get your reaction to the History Channel's The Bible right after this.
Issues, etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues, etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at clcc.org, clcc.org.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's been a lot of talk about the Obama administration's forcing employers to provide drugs that cause abortion in their insurance plans. Oral arguments before the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia show just how strident Mr. Obama is on this issue. Judge Reggie Walton raised a question with the attorney representing Mr. Obama. The judge's wife, a physician, has a one-person practice and incorporated it to protect her from potential individual liability. Judge Walton asked, she'd have to go with no corporation protection in order to assert her religious right not to provide drugs that cause abortion in her insurance plan? The attorney responded, I actually don't think that is that important. This is arrogance against religious liberty like I've never seen.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing a little review with your help of the docudrama on the History Channel called The Bible, the first part that aired on Sunday and throughout this week as well. It's going to be a five-part and 2 hours to each part leading up to Easter, trying to cover the entire Bible or the high points of the Bible. You can't really fault them for not covering every detail in the Bible. That would take far more than the very, very limited amount of television time that they have for this. It's Friday afternoon, March the 8th. Our call-in number for your questions, your comments, your reaction to the History Channel's The Bible, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC, or leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. It began with Noah telling the story of creation in the ark while they're being tossed around in the storm of the great flood. Very dramatic, lots of dramatic music. And the story that Noah is telling is of creation that culminates with the fall. Here's either end of that account, according to the History Channel's The Bible.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he made us to live in paradise until Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. And with one choice, they learned both good and evil.
Now that was where, when I'm watching this, all your antenna are out. All of your red flags are ready to fly. And you're saying to yourself, have they got the basic stuff? It's good that they begin with creation as actual history. I think that's exactly how the Bible presents it. It's good that they begin with Adam and Eve as actual persons in history. That's exactly how the Bible presents it. When it comes to the fall, you have to start saying something about the events. They disobeyed God. That's made quite clear. There was this little, I got a feeling at times that the Bible producers were these kind of well-meaning Christians who'd watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy just one too many times and had said to themselves, wow, I really wish we could make the Bible this interesting as the Lord of the Rings is. So you had this, the serpent who in the next cutscene was some sort of Voldemort character standing there. I think they were trying to drive home visually the picture that this wasn't just a snake. This was the devil who tempted them. They are really skimming over the top of stuff. But the way that the fall is presented there, with one choice, they knew both good and evil, is, well, I guess you could say it's accurate to how the Bible says their interaction with that fruit was. It was the tree of the knowledge of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So they knew both good and evil. But one might say that what it presents there in terms of the fall is, they knew nothing beforehand. They were pure innocents beforehand and then knew both good and evil. I think we should say of the fall that what they knew before was only good. That's driven home in the creation account again and again And again, if you connect the fall with creation account, God is continually saying, it's his constant refrain, that what he has made, including man, is good. Good, 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 good. And then the knowledge of good and evil enters in with the fall. Now, I thought also from that point on, they did a pretty good job of depicting what the results of the fall were. They had the people beating each other up. They had Cain killing Abel, crushing his head with the rock and all those kinds of things. So it was, while it was dramatized, I think the depiction of the fall was good. But it is begins to ask the question, what's man's real problem? And if man's real problem is that he kind of has, he knows too much, which is what seemed to be implied there, that doesn't strike at the heart of what the fall really is. Man gained nothing in the fall. This is where my red flags are flying. Man gained nothing in the fall. Nothing was added to him. Man lost something in the fall. He lost several things. He lost the perfect fear, love, and trust of God, which is the image of God that he had before. He lost, we often talk about him losing that relationship with God. That relationship was broken. He lost also creation, and he lost life. But he didn't gain anything. And my quibble with the depiction of the fall in the docudrama is it's almost as though, uh-oh, now they know too much. We got to do something about this. When in fact, the fall is not that. They actually lose knowledge seeking to gain knowledge. They lose wisdom seeking to gain wisdom. They lose the image of God seeking to be like God. They lose God seeking to draw themselves through their own efforts closer to him. That's what the fall actually is. I don't think that came across in the depiction of the fall in the History Channel's The Bible. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Jumping forward, the next episode, major episode that we're presented with in the History Channel's The Bible is a promise made to Abraham of a son.
Abraham, where is your wife? In there.
Next year, Sarah will have a son. Why do you laugh?
I didn't laugh.
You did. And when you have a son, you will name him Isaac, which means laughter.
Now, that's there's some tweaking going on with the real story. This is the three strangers who come to visit Abraham and Sarah under the oaks of Mamre. This is where the promise, the explicit promise, is made of a son to be born within a year. And, of course, the promise has been in place already for 25 years. Abraham knew it. Sarah knew it. It's good. They're trying to get the women characters up front. I think that's what they're trying to do there. And then we see here kind of the first incident that I noticed of genuine embellishment. Here's the problem. The Bible isn't a screenplay. You sit down to read through it and you say, you know, this dialogue seems a little patchy. This dialogue doesn't really have a good arc to it. This dialogue doesn't conclude where we would like it to conclude to tell the story in kind of a emotionally satisfying way. So they change a few things. Suddenly, the angel is talking to Sarah, not to Abraham, which doesn't happen in the account. Talks about Sarah through Abraham. And then they add this little, well, when you do have this son, you're going to name him Isaac because it means laughter. What are they trying to do? They're trying to backload some details that are important to know and are kind of interesting to know in the Bible, but they make it part of the dialogue. And this is the problem. The Bible isn't a screenplay. At screenplays, you sit down, you read it, you say it doesn't sound right. What do? You change the dialogue to make it sound right. When you're dealing with the Bible simply doesn't permit us to do this, not only because it's the authoritative word of God, but because that's not how it presents itself. There's a reason why the dialogue is patchy in the Bible. There's a reason why you can't turn it into a screenplay. Because It only tells us what we need to know, the important stuff, and it doesn't fill in all those emotionally satisfying conversational gaps. All right, that's the promise to Abraham. The next thing they dealt with in the History Channel's The Bible was God testing Abraham.
After years of struggle, Abraham has learned that to be chosen by God is a blessing and a test. He must prove his faith again and again.
Sacrifice. Have I not shown you enough faith?
All right. This is where, if your flags weren't flying before, they ought to be at the top of the mast. Every red flag you have. You say, wow, isn't that the struggle that Abraham had? Doesn't the Bible say, in fact, at the very head of Genesis chapter 22, where God tests Abraham by commanding him to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, on Mount Moriah, isn't that what this is about? Testing Abraham's faith. Well, not the way the Bible docudrama presents it. Notice what they said there. He found out that a relationship with God, being chosen by God, meant both a blessing and a test, and he had to prove his faith again and again. Prove it to who? To God? See, you start to wonder what faith is supposed to be. Obviously, in the minds of those who put together the Bible miniseries here, faith is something that Abraham has, that he possesses, that he generates, and that he has to kind of present or show to God. God wants to see it in action, and so Abraham has to muster it and put it right out there on his sleeve so he can prove to God that he has faith. Even the words that are put into Abraham's mouth there when he's commanded, which do not appear in any way whatsoever on purpose. In the biblical account, God says, go sacrifice Isaac. And he says, a sacrifice? Haven't I shown you enough faith? Abraham says to God, which Abraham doesn't say to God in the biblical account for a reason, because he didn't say that. In fact, he's commended for his faith precisely in the book of Hebrews, precisely because he didn't say, well, haven't I done enough for you, God? Would he have gone to sacrifice his son if he had that kind of attitude? No, the Bible says when God tested him, he obeyed. He believed. He didn't whine to God about having him already shown him enough faith. We'll talk more about that after this. We're reviewing the docudrama from the History Channel, The Bible.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. steadfastlutherans.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
I am here.
I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob.
You are real.
I am. I have seen the misery of my people. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring them out of Egypt.
But how can I set them free?
I will be with you.
That's the account of the burning bush, the famous account of the burning bush, the call of Moses, as it is often called, according to the History Channel's The Bible docudrama. Now, this is one, to kind of return to positives for a moment, that I actually think got the meaning right if it didn't get the dialogue right. It did get the meaning right. The problem is, if you don't get the dialogue right between Moses, you do miss where the real meaning comes from. So this is a great example of they're trying to paraphrase, and I think by accident, and I think purely by accident, they actually get it right. Now, what do I mean? It's not what Moses has to say, because Moses is pretty easy to figure out here. And kudos to them for presenting this God as not just some generic God, but the God as he presents himself in the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is, the God who has bound himself by promise to these men and by promise to humanity to send a Savior. Now, they don't say that. That's one of the things that's glaringly absent from this reading of the Old Testament, according to the History Channel. And we would hope, I think we need to give them the benefit of doubt and hope that they start to bring in the promise of the Messiah in here at some point. They've only done 2 hours. They should have already gotten it in, but they still have another 8 hours to go. But what do they get right? It's where God says, I will be with you. That is, I am convinced, precisely the meaning of the interchange between Moses and God at the burning bush. When Moses complains, Moses tries to back out, and God answers him with his name, I am. And in Hebrew, it is an open-ended sentence. It's I am ellipsis. I mean, there's no way to read it. He said, I am who I am. But I think the force of that encounter between Moses and God is God telling Moses and his people what it means for him to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is with us. So they stumbled into it. They got to it by accident. I don't think they intended to get there, but in an attempt to kind of smooth out the dialogue, they actually got to the right meaning of God's name. I will be with you. Now, how can I say that with such certainty? Because I know the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is the very God who spoke at the burning bush and spoke at Sinai, who revealed himself as I am, reveals himself as the God who is with us in Jesus Christ. You know, had they just flashed at that moment for a second, I will be with you, to an image of the cross, then they could have redeemed an awful lot in this first episode of the Bible. They didn't do that, but they stumbled into the truth. Well, of course, we're still in the Moses story. After the call of Moses, the next major thing is, how did the History Channel of the Bible deal with the event of the Passover?
Friends!
We can be spared God's vengeance, but only if we do exactly as he tells us.
Don't spill! Every single house must be marked with blood.
The Israelites paint lamb's blood on their doorways, identifying them as God's people. The angel of death finds every Israelite house painted with blood and passes over.
Now, I don't know, to give them the benefit of the doubt, I don't know how you squeeze the complexity that is the Passover in the story of Egypt, in the story of the Exodus, and in the story that it becomes central for the rest of the Bible, into 20, 30, 40 seconds of television time. I don't think you can do it. They tried to get the facts right. The sacrifice of the lamb, although they didn't call it a sacrifice. And the blood on the doorpost, they tried to get that right as well. But this is, if you're not going to explore, at least in some way, why a sacrifice is necessary, this is about sin and the shedding of blood as atonement for sin. Why atonement is necessary. Why the Passover isn't just a sacrifice that gives you blood to paint on your doorpost, but it's in fact a meal that they're commanded to eat this lamb in its entirety before they leave. And that it isn't presented as the perpetual memorial that it is called in Exodus chapter 12 and elsewhere. That is, this is something they will do for the rest of their lives and for every generation, not only to remind them of how God brought them out of Egypt, but to remind them of what God would do for them in the future in sending a new Passover lamb. Another opportunity to point the viewer to the centrality of the cross in the Old Testament that was sadly missed. And for time's sake, I don't have much more to say there. Here is the Bible as it presents the event of the Exodus.
My people, God has delivered us from slavery. We are free. You have come a long way. I know. But our journey is just beginning. We must trust in God. We must follow His path.
All right, that's Moses speaking to the people after the Exodus, according to the History Channel's docudrama, The Bible. And, you know, at first glance, that sounds like something Moses might have said. It isn't anything Moses actually did say. But it sounds like something Moses might have said if they were on the other side of the Red Sea and they're reflecting on the events that have just happened. Actually, I mean, it's another example of trying to get the facts right but missing the point of what those facts are saying, the promise that is embedded in them. And the promise here is not just being freed from slavery in Egypt, but being brought out to be made God's people, to actually be made God's people through the covenant that God would establish in blood, with the establishment of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system, that would mark, not just mark them as God's people, that would make them God's people. This is God claiming a people for Himself. And the focus there in the History Channel's treatment of it is, you know, we've come a long way, but the journey's just begun. It just sounds to me like Gandalf talking to Bilbo at the end of his long journey to, you know, get the dragon's gold, to me. The emphasis is not on how far they have to go. The emphasis in the scripture, the far they have to go, actually, is not God's path for them. God's path for them was straight to the land, take it over. But they refused to do that. It wasn't supposed to be a long journey. It's a long journey on account of their rebellion. And we reminded recently in one of the epistle readings that that rebellion meant an entire generation fell dead in the wilderness. So God's path would have brought them straight to the promised land, not on some sort of long, adventurous journey. Well, let's see. I guess it all drives toward this, and they did pick a good stopping place. It's the Bible version of the giving of the Ten Commandments and what it's supposed to mean.
God gives laws to Moses, written in stone. The Ten Commandments.
Joshua. God has renewed the promise He made to Abraham. We have new laws preparing us for the promised land. If we are true to God, He will keep His promise.
Abraham's dream.
All right, this is where in an attempt to be a good cliffhanger, new laws, we need to be true to God, and then he will keep his promise. The if-then that was, I sensed at the beginning when it talked about the chance to reconcile a relationship with God is now becoming explicit in the History Channel's The Bible. If we do this, then God will do that. Guess what? That is not the message of that incident, and it's not the message of the rest of the Bible. God is going to keep his promise whether we are faithful to God or not. He is going to keep that promise. In fact, the Old Testament is a history, something the History Channel ought to know something about, is a history of God being faithful in spite of our faithlessness, of God keeping his promise to us in spite of our inability to keep his commandments or anything we promise to do for him. So watch for that as you watch, if you watch, the rest of the History Channel's treatment of the Bible, the emphasis on what we have to do to reconcile ourselves to God, which is opposite of the Bible's. And how are they going to fit the cross and God sending his son to somehow fit into a model where we have to be faithful before God will keep his promise? I'm kind of curious to see that. Just keep that flag ready to fly as you watch the rest of the documentary. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for March is called Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. It comes from Concordia Publishing House, and it is a great treatment of the Lord's Supper. It has in it all of the biblical material for the Lord's Supper and all that there is to teach about the Lord's Supper and to learn about it. It really wouldn't fit into a narrow volume like this, but they've done a great job at Concordia Publishing House of doing it nonetheless. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask about Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. Order one for yourself and for a friend. It's a good gift to give for Easter to somebody you know. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Dr. Joel Heck, part 3 of our 7-part series on creation today, the icons of evolution. And then we're going to get some much-needed lessons in history. Again, this is the history of African American Lutheranism. Why is it that there are so few African American Lutherans in the United States? There are plenty of African Lutherans now, more than there are of any other kind of Lutherans, but why in the United States so few African American Lutherans? We'll get an answer to that question and some of that history in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.